You're supposed to say, "He is risen indeed." He is risen. All right. Very good. All right. Thought you got Pentecostal on several. He is risen. What a fabulous thing. And, you know, the early church greeted each other with those phrases, "He is risen. He is risen indeed." And why shouldn't they? Because the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the signature event in the life and work of Jesus. And if you think about it, and you, Gail did a good job going through the scriptures today, talking about prophecies, but for 4,000 years before the resurrection, up to the resurrection, and 2,000 years since the resurrection, looking back to the resurrection, it all points there. So the resurrection is the centerpiece of Christianity, and the truth be known, in light of eternity. The resurrection is the centerpiece of humanity. Like it or not, believe it or not, that is the very center of the human race. Well, on Good Friday, we looked back. We looked at why Jesus did what he did on the cross. And the reasons were, first, to remove the barriers that separated mankind from him, to provide redemption for fallen mankind. And secondly, which was probably challenging, we've read from 2 Corinthians that he died so those who live, that's you and I, would stop living for ourselves and start living for him. And as I said, we know he did his part. So are we going to do our part? Stop living for ourselves and start living for him. Also on Good Friday, I mentioned to everybody, you know, we're going to talk about the resurrection, and it's my nature to, when I'm talking about the crucifixion, as quickly as I can move over to the resurrection. I mean, I like to talk about the celebration part, but I encouraged everybody to stay on the crucifixion for a little while. If you think anything about the disciples, they had 3 days after the crucifixion. They had to deal with that. They had to struggle with that. And they were just human like we are. And my guess is there was a lot of doubts began to creep in. Been doing some reading about their doubts, and pretty much across the board, all of them began to doubt. And we're going to look at a few of those today as we look at the resurrection. So, now, let's look at this amazing event, the resurrection. Well, wouldn't you have liked to have been there to see the stone rolled back and Jesus come out of the tomb? The truth is, nobody saw it. When Mary and the other women got there, the stone had already been rolled away and Jesus was gone. No one saw it. They just saw the result of it. But boy, wouldn't that be something to see that stone rolled back. So we're going to go to Luke chapter 24, and basically we're going to run through the whole chapter. I hope you have your Bible today. We're going to be reading a lot from Scripture. I really believe the best way to lay a foundation for a topic is from the Word of God. Would anybody agree with that? Okay, so that's what we're going to do. Now let's have a word of prayer before we get started. Father, thank you for the resurrection of Jesus. We thank you for his crucifixion. Only you know why it had to be that way. But it was, and we're grateful for the result. We have the opportunity to be redeemed. Now from what we're going to look at today, we have the opportunity to live forever. Because Jesus rose, we can live. So, Father, help us as we look at your word. Open our eyes and let us see what you intend for us to see. We ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. Luke 24, verses 1 through 8. But on the first day of the week at early dawn, they went to, well, first let me set the stage. Jesus had died, buried, a huge stone rolled across. It was even sealed. It was sealed by an official seal to where nobody can enter. They didn't know it, but nobody was going to enter. They were going to exit. Probably didn't expect that. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb taking the spices they had prepared. This is the women. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And while they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. Let's stop. Can you imagine walking into that? I mean, the stone rolls away, and that's you're shocked. You walk in, the body's gone, and then all of a sudden, you've got two men in shining apparel. I think I would be hyperventilating right here. What an amazing sight. Verse 5, and as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to him, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you he was still in Galilee, while he was still in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified on the third day. Arise." And they remembered his words. Let's stop. And they remembered his words. Jesus told them that he was going to have to be taken prisoner and he was going to die. And he was going to rise again. Jesus told them. Why didn't they think about what he was saying? I mean, when you have somebody like Jesus around, you listen to him, right? And then you remember what he says. But they didn't take the time to look back at what he said. I wonder why. Well, let me give you my opinion. I think the pain of the loss of hope when Jesus died was just too much. I mean, their hopes were built up in Jesus, and all of a sudden, he's dead, and their hope is destroyed. It doesn't matter what he said, he's gone. It doesn't matter. I mean, he said, "I'm coming back." Well, when did that happen in the past? That's not in your experience. So they're thinking, it's over. But he got killed. And that destroys hope. But now the angels say he is risen. Is it true? Come on, folks. We can very easily move into our way, look back and look at it and say, yes, it is. But get yourself in their shoes and look at it. He is alive. Well, is he? Are they sure? Would you have any doubts when you're looking at an empty tomb? Yes, you would. Let's continue, verse 9. And returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. And now it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. Watch verse 11. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. Here we go again. These guys who walked for 3.5 years with Jesus, they saw the miracles that he did. They watched him raise the dead, and they heard him say, "I'm going to rise again." And when the ladies told them that he had pulled it off, they didn't believe him. What's going on? These guys who've seen him in the flesh, why are they not believing? But they responded, verse 12, and Peter rose and ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in, and he saw the linen clothes by themselves, and he went home marveling at what happened. (sighs) Even after Jesus said he was going to rise again, he was still surprised. Well, don't be too hard on Peter. How many of us are surprised when God does something after saying he's going to do it? You see, we're all there, aren't we? Because God moving often is within, outside of our normal experience, and we go, wow. I think we should be praising God for what he does, but don't be surprised when God does what he said he's going to do. So, God raised Jesus from the dead. What a remarkable event. So, say it with me again. He is risen. Now you're on to it. The death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ completes the redemptive plan for mankind. Right there, it's all done. He pays the price. Now get this, for everyone's sin. The penalty is paid, and he offers forgiveness and restoration for all who will trust him. He even offers a new life for those who have messed up their lives. I've often said we don't need behavior modification, we need life change. We can improve our actions, but only God can change a life. Would you agree? That's what he died for. Now, in our world, there's a lot of people who would think this story is just a lot of rubbish. There might even be some people here today who thinks this story is not true. You might say, well, now, Pastor Tony, I have a hard time with this resurrection thing. Come on now, you actually say that you believe that a man that was so torn apart by the Romans and died and buried has risen from the dead, yeah? Humanly speaking, it's impossible. So did it happen? What's the proof? Is there any evidence? We can go back to all kinds of historical stuff, but what I want to do is stay in the text. Is this just a fable, a fairy tale? Well, let's see. Continuing to read in Luke chapter 24, we'll find that there's more to this story than just a fairy tale. Luke tells us that there were two men. They were walking. I bet you could even tell me where they were walking to, right? Emmaus. And they were talking about the events over the last 3 days. I'm sure they were. And Jesus joins them to see what they were thinking. Look at verse 15 and 16. So it was, while they were conversed and reasoned, that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were restrained, so they did not know him. I like the word the King James used there. It says, and they reasoned. Why do we reason? We reason trying to figure out what happened. We're trying to make sense of it all. So where they were talking and they were reasoning. I'm sure that conversation was really, really interesting. And then Jesus joins with them as a secret traveler. And then verse 17, and he said to them, what are these words that you are exchanging with one another as you're walking? And they stood still, looking sad. Why would they look sad? Well, their hope is destroyed. They might even be looking at him, you mean you don't know? You've not heard all these things that's going on? And that's what they say. Haven't you heard about everything that's going on? Verse number 19. And Jesus said, what things? And they said to him concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one day to redeem Israel. Yes, And besides all this, it is now the third day since these things happened. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find his body, they came back saying that they had even seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. And some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. Boy, what a story they've told Jesus. I mean, Jesus may have looked at them and said, well, you told that story well. But he didn't. Look at verse 25. And he said to them, oh, foolish ones, Oh, foolish ones and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted them in all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. So when they finished their story, he said, why did you not believe? Here's two more people who didn't believe. I mean, they were good Jewish boys, all right? They should have known the scripture. Yet they didn't believe. So we have a whole lot of people who should have believed that are not believing. Jesus challenges that. They continue on to their destination. Jesus joins them inside and he breaks bread, and their eyes were open to who he was, and instantaneously Jesus vanished. He vanished. Now I want you to see something here, which could be a little bit personal. The men that were talking to Jesus had an unusual sensation come over them while Jesus was around. Look at verse 32, and they said to each other, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures? Folks, they didn't even know who he was. They didn't know who he was. But as he was talking, there was this sensation of burning within them. They knew this guy was somebody special, even though they didn't even know it was him. Now let's make it personal. You remember the time you heard the gospel of Jesus Christ? You heard about what Jesus did for you? And then you had that sensation on the inside that says, this is real. This is real. This is my time. Guess what? Jesus died for me, not just for the whole world. He died for me, and they felt that. To me, that's one of the evidences of the story of Jesus. It's when the Holy Spirit moves into your heart and he begins drawing you like, come on, this is for you. Perhaps you're here today, and as we've been talking about this, you begin to feel that burning sensation, that pulling within you that says, this is for me. How are you going to respond to that? That's a proof that it's real, because the Holy Spirit's working on the inside. There's another proof that the story of the resurrection is real. You see, here's one thing. These men, all the men who were doubters, very quickly changed to sold out followers of Jesus. And they began preaching and telling the story of Jesus wherever they went. And they did it so forthrightly that most of them lost their lives because of their testimony. That, in my opinion, is a huge proof that it's real. Because people would not sacrifice their lives for something they knew was not real. And these disciples who followed him, saw him raise again, they knew it was real, and they didn't even worry about life. They're telling the story of Jesus. Oh, if we would only get that passion to share the story of Jesus. passion to tell other people about Jesus. These guys gave their lives. But something else. Earlier on, during the preaching of Peter and John, they were arrested while telling this story. And when they got arrested and thrown into prison, an angel of the Lord let them out. There's a story right there by itself. We'll go there one of these days where the angel let them out. And the Jews discovered when they went to get Peter and John out that Peter and John was no longer in there. I bet that was a surprise. And they get angry and they bring Peter and John in for a little bit of an interrogation. And the interrogation got so passionate that the Jews decided to kill Peter and John. And these guys got so out of line that there was a very wise man by the name of Gamaliel stood up and said, "Listen, guys, we need to be cautious." And why? Well, let's just read that. Go with me to Acts chapter 5. And here is an unquestionable proof that the resurrection of Jesus is real. Acts chapter 5, verses 34 through 40. But one member, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, who was an expert in religious law and respected by all the people, stood up and ordered that the men be sent outside the council chamber for a while. I can imagine he said, "Listen, guys, I got something I need to show you." Then he said to all of his colleagues, "Men of Israel, take care what you're planning to do to these men. Some time ago, there was that fellow Thaddeus who pretended to be someone great. About four others joined him, but he was killed. And all his followers went their various ways. The whole movement came to nothing. And after him, at the time of the census, there was Judas of Galilee. He got people to follow him, but he was killed too, and all his followers were scattered. So my advice," he says, "leave these men alone. Let them go. For if they are planning and doing these things merely on their own, it will soon be overthrown. But," here's a wise man, "if it's from God, you will not be able to overthrow them. You may even find yourself fighting against God." And you know what his associates said? "It's a good idea. We don't want to be fighting against God." So what do you think? Gamaliel says, "If it's of men, it will die. If it's of God, it'll keep growing." Did the quickly growing group of Christians die out, or did it grow? In one generation, the message went all throughout Israel. In 300 years, it spread through all the known world. Now get this, no media coverage, no CNN or Fox, without any big names except for the Apostle Paul, just simple, humble people who loved others, including their enemies, and then told them the story of Jesus. Nothing profound about them, but something extremely profound about the message they told. But about that time, after about 300 years, there was this Roman emperor who said, "I've had enough of this rubbish. I'm going to kill the lot of them and shut this down." So it started a massacre and persecution of Christians that we know nothing of in our day. They started stamping out Christians, and everywhere you turn, leaders were trying to destroy Christians. Did it stop it? Fast forward to today. For those who name the name of Christ, I'm not going to talk about theology, but name the name of Christ, 1/3 of the world population names the name of Christ to billion people today. Did it die? Will it die? Why? It's real. It's real. And when somebody tries to tell you that Christianity is just a fairy tale, the evidence supports that it's real. Because they couldn't, as hard as they tried, they could not stamp it out then. They can't stamp it out today. Why? It's real. Jesus rose from the grave. And he provided the opportunity for every single human being to be forgiven of their sins, to be redeemed, and brought into the family of God. Aren't you glad? He's risen. He's risen. All right, you go one more time. He is risen. Now, folks, that's something to get excited about. Now, for those of us who are Christians, you say, well, I don't say much about it because I really don't ever get any result. It's not your business to determine the result. Your business is to tell the story. And when we tell the story, the Holy Spirit is there to start the burning on the inside. But not only that burning will go after you're gone. I remember one man I talked to, I argued for a couple of years with him about becoming a Christian, and I was losing the battle, and I've got a lot of ringers to throw, and none of them worked. This guy was a done deal as far as I'm concerned. I would run out of information. And then one day I said, Lord, I shook my hand, I remember that. I don't know what to do, so Father, I'll tell you what. You're going to have to just reveal yourself to him. You know what happened that night? He did. In a way that I could not even imagine. This guy, God revealed himself to this man. And when I saw him again, he was weeping. And he said that just that. God showed himself to me. The result is not our job. Tell the story. It is. In this culture that we live in today, many of them will say it's not real. But it is. And history supports that fact. So folks, he is risen. Please stand. On this Easter Sunday, we should celebrate the fact that we serve a risen Savior. And as the old song goes, he is in the world today. And he is working and moving. And you know, he might be wanting you to talk to somebody about him, and he maybe has worked for years to bring that person around to where they cross your path, to where you have the opportunity to share Jesus with them. But let me ask this question. Why would he do that if he knew you wouldn't share Jesus? If you make a commitment to say, I mean, we don't have to be belligerent. We don't have to beat people over the head. But what, I mean, remember what the early church did? Compassionate, humble, with love, share Jesus. Then you'll see people coming to Christ. Because that's the Holy Spirit's job, is to draw them. But he uses people like you and me to tell the story of Jesus. Father, thank you, Lord, for this Easter Sunday. Thank you, Father, that we know it's real. We know that we know that we know that it's real. History supports it. From all aspects, Jesus died, rose again, and is alive. He presented himself to over 400 people. What evidence more do we need? But that evidence that we felt the burning inside when we heard the gospel for us and we knew it was real and we believed. There's no doubt it's real. Now, Father, I ask you to give us that passion to tell others the story of Jesus, where they too can experience that Jesus is real. We ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Have a good rest of Easter Sunday.